It's just so amazing to go back and look over the history of the motion picture, which is really essentially took flight in the United States. Not that it didn't also have a life in Europe as well before that, but really Hollywood was where the motion picture really got itself going with the silent movies, where, of course, Charlie Chaplin was the great iconic creative force.
And he wrote his own music.
And what was remarkable was he was an extraordinary musician. He had extraordinary ability to pick up musical influences by ear. He wasn't particularly good at writing notation down himself, but he could play fluently in any style possible. So he composed.
That's a real gift.
It was an extraordinary, what is a savant-like gift. So we're going to reintroduce Charlie Chaplin, who's really not very well known as a composer, as the first item on our program of movie music. So I'm so thrilled about that.
I think that's wonderful. Yes. I mean, I think the one that most of us know is Smile.
Yes.
But there's so much more to Charlie Chaplin than Smile.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is my first foray into that field, so it'll be an exploration for me, but I'm really looking forward to it. So I tried to create a program that would work through the different eras of movie music, because after Charlie Chaplin, of course, came the era of the composers who came from Europe. Because
also escaping problems with World War II.
Of course. And as the talking movies started, as we had dialogue, it became a different kind of an art form. But amongst those composers were, of course, Erich Korngold, who came from Vienna, and actually, I believe, had been a student of Gustav Mahler. And he, and then later Max Steiner, also from Vienna, brought their art with them at the highest level. These were extraordinarily skilled craftsmen of music.
They were all classically trained.
They were all classically trained, and in a way, I think when they came to the United States and realized that, well, Hollywood, of course, was not just the hub of movie making, it was also a hub of the arts in many other ways. So many extraordinary artists ended up there. Arnold Schoenberg, for example, Yasha Heifetz, Arthur Rubinstein, they all lived in that area. So there was a ferment, a kind of a soup of wonderful creativity going on. And writing for the movies was the next thing. It wasn't considered in a way commercial. It was the legitimate next step in an art form, because all of these composers wanted to do something new.
And when I hear music just over the radio from that era, I may not know what movie it's from, but in my mind I'm going, I know that's from a movie, because I feel like I'm someplace. There's a specific mood that's been created.
That's right. Well, I think what some of those composers also brought with them, as they were mostly Jewish, was familiarity with the Yiddish theater. And they had this ability to use music to rip your heartstrings out. So if you think of Max Steiner and Gone with the Wind, the big tunes, these romantic melodies came straight from the traditions of Mahler and from Vienna of the very end of the Romantic era. So it was a way of extending that style into the movies. So these big arching melodies were just archetypal in that way.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yes.
That's interesting. You know, as you were talking about this, I literally can hear the opening to Korngold Violin Concerto, which I absolutely love. It
yes.
just encapsulates that. I always call it unabashedly romantic. It's so
it is unabashedly.
Beautiful.
It's also very complex.
It is.
It's multi-layered. It's not in any way simplified. It's very complex music. I know that music is now considered from a past era, but it is...
What a great era it was, though, if that's
and
the case.
And the Korngold Concerto is still, it's a real warhorse for violinists that still love to bring that out. And we have programmed the suite from Psycho.
And that's a really, to me, an interesting contrast to have Max Steiner and Erich Korngold, and then to bring in music from Bernard Herrmann from Psycho, because that's such a different feel.
It is. I mean, I guess we could call it kind of American expressionism because it is so stark and so violent and so terrifying. I mean, I actually enjoy that kind of terror at this point.
Yes, you have a strange little twinkle in your eye when you're saying this to me.
Yes, well, I'm actually hoping we're going to attract a lot of young people to this concert because the second half is going to be devoted, of course, to John Williams. And we'll be doing the Harry Potter suite and music from Star Wars and Far and Away. So,
are you encouraging people to young people to come in costume?
I hadn't thought of that, but I think we'd welcome it if they show up in their Harry Potter outfits. All to the better.
You never know, really, because people are so fond of that movie series and Star Wars as well. So,
In himself, he is such an extraordinarily well-versed and knowledgeable composer and musician. And in his music, you find so many wonderful references.
You do.
To a complete canon of musicians, of music across the board. He's so literate, so clever, so full of heart and imagination.
When he has, like you said, he has these references. I always call them John Williams shout-outs to somebody else. So.
Well, in music, as Leonard Bernstein said, all the best composers steal from each other. But just as Bach did, you have to steal good.
Yes, you do.
And John Williams certainly knew how to do that.